So we'll continue listening to some of this here. Quite a fascinating video essay by this man, Neil Oliver. And the accent doesn't hurt, does it?
Misinformation and propaganda, all of it combining to create a wearying, debilitating sense of constant anxiety and uncertainty. But the strongest smell of fear comes not from those at the bottom of the pile, rather from those at the top. And what are they so frightened of, these governments and leaders? I'll tell you what, they're frightened of their own people. They're frightened of us, and there are a lot of us. It wasn't until the first decade of the 19th century that the population of the world reached a billion. It took another century and a quarter after that milestone for the headcount to double to 2 billion, and then just 30 years to get to 3 billion. It's estimated that now we're adding an extra billion people every 15 years or so. There are 8 billion of us now, more people alive at once than ever before. More people means more and more pressure on all the things worth having. Not just toilet paper and diesel, but freedom and space in which to live and roam. While the many queue and squabble over loo roll and gas for the tank, because that's where the mainstream media is goading us to look, the leaders tell us our troubles are all our own fault anyway. Brexit breaking supply chains, our lifestyles making the planet too hot. All they need is more of our time, they bleat. More of our cooperation. More of our money. Just more. But as the line goes in the outlaw Josie Wales, don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining. As well as the leaders, the billionaire elites are fearful too. Billionaires are adding billions to their wealth, not by the decade, but with every week and month of the present crisis. I can imagine it might be frightening to have so much when so many beyond the castle walls have so little or nothing at all, not even hope. I think of a technocrat billionaire, and in my mind's eye, I get an image of a cat being carried through the crowds on a busy city street inside one of those plastic crates you see in airports, looking out at us through the grill with fearful, uncomprehending eyes.
That's a pretty amazing image, isn't it? That's pretty amazing. They can't deal with... He imagines a cat in one of those little kennels being taken out above a crowd in a busy street. I love how he speaks and says, loo roll. Loo roll, or however he says it. Bathroom tissue. It's true. I mean, I've said this many times, but it bears repeating. This whole thing started with toilet paper. That means you've got caca for brains if you were duped by it. I understand people were getting toilet paper because they thought they were going to run out. But from the beginning, one of the things I couldn't understand is I thought, my goodness, what would happen if they ran out of toilet paper? People, come on. Do you have a shower? A washcloth? Got a bidet? Can you live? I mean, you know, like half the world doesn't have access to toilet paper, right? I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it's a thing. What a pandemic of the pampered this has been, eh? And that speaks to what's happening. Because if you look around at the nations in the world where they have real serious stuff going on, real serious stuff. Afghanistan. Lots of places in Africa. A lot of Eastern European countries where they're not as polished around the edges as we are. Do you think they're pushing this stuff the same way that we're pushing it? You think the Sandinistas in Latin America are going, guys, make sure you socially distance. Think they have time for that? Do you think that they're enforcing a lot of these things in the middle of Rwanda? I don't think so. And if you look around the world, and you're one of these global elites, you know. Because listen, these elites, they exist in every country. And in some cases, the ones that come from the most backwater nations are the richest people on earth. Or amongst the richest people on earth. You know when these people look around the world, these elites. It's kind of like, I'm going to try to do an analogy here. And I'm not trying to get all, I'm not trying to get too civil rights EE, okay? But I just, this is the first analogy that came to my mind. Imagine back in the day when there was white baseball leagues and black baseball leagues. Clearly there's a lot of great baseball players that are white. There's a lot of great baseball players who are black. There's just a lot of great baseball players of all types of people. A lot of great Japanese baseball players. Who cares? Lots of Latin Americans. But if you were playing in that time in the white-only league, and you had like a home run record or something, or the fastest running around the base time, or whatever you were, if you were a shortstop and you had the best defensive record, whatever your stats were, you would have known in the back of your mind that I'm not really the best at this. And there's a guy playing across the city in a different league, and they won't let him in this one. And he's better than I am. And I know it. Everybody knows it, but I have to pretend it's not the case. And when you find out that they're going to have integration of the leagues, you get a little bit scared. Because you know your time is up. Same thing happened in the 1970s and 80s in the NHL. There were a lot of hockey players that were barred from playing in the NHL that were Russian or from the Soviet Union. Everyone in the world knew that Vladimir Tretiak was the best goaltender on earth. It was obvious. He lost to the Americans in that miracle on ice. But he was the best goaltender on earth. He was probably one of the best he might be the best goaltender ever lived. Maybe. He never got to play in the NHL. But it was obvious. And the mere sight of that guy struck fear into the hearts of opponents. It was almost something like, there was almost something about him where he was like mythological. There's an unknown to the proles, ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever read your Orwell. To the proletariat, to the citizenry. There's an unknown to us. Because the elites don't understand us, and they know they don't understand us. Excuse me. They don't understand why you just don't get vaccinated. They don't understand why you just don't do what they tell you. They just don't get it. There's an unknown, ladies and gentlemen, that scares them. They see what's happening in Australia, and they go, why are these people still charging at these police officers? What's wrong with them? Just get vaccinated. Just show your papers so you can have a piece of pizza, you morons. What the hell's wrong with you? They say, just get vaccinated. Don't you want to go to the bar? Why do you keep having fun with your friends where we can't see you? I don't understand. Why don't you just put on the damn mask? Why don't you just take the corona test? Why don't you just stay home? I don't understand why you're still thinking for yourself. Why aren't these third world nations giving in to what we said? Why are they rejecting us? This is what these bastard globalist elites say to themselves in their stupid piles of cash where they sit there like petulant, spoiled stepchildren from Daddy Warbucks. They can't understand you because you're a human being. You have a beating heart and red, warm blood runs through your veins. You're not a doll's-eyed, dead-eyed, cold-hearted, ice-veined vampire who lives off the blood of innocence.